Thank you. You can be seated. Again, thank you for choosing to come to Faith Independent Baptist Church. We really appreciate everyone here. As you've seen, Shauna's here. Justin's putting the little one in the nursery just to make sure he doesn't cheer too much. John 19, if you would go ahead and turn there. John chapter 19. The last Wednesday night when they came, we wore him out so extensively that he slept the whole time. We were not guaranteed that outcome, so we're taking preemptive action. If you grandparents and parents know what I'm talking about. I took much preemptive action on Justin. I mean, he got it whether he needed it or not, because there were times when he didn't get it when I'd missed it. You know what I mean. John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct in the services this morning, and that you would have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews toward the back of your Bible, about the last of Paul's epistles. Was the book of Hebrews. And I want to preach a message called There's Power in His Blood. I don't know about you. Blood doesn't bother me, but I know many people that blood bothers them. They pass out when they see blood. And yet, when you look in the Bible talks about blood. And it's the blood of Jesus. And it's, it even calls it precious blood. It calls it let me see what else. Innocent blood, incorruptible blood, holy blood. You know, when you start looking at how the Bible describes it, it's an important element. And a lot of songbooks are taking the blood out, and because people don't want to hear about the blood. But I was just looking at that song that we were singing moments ago, "To God Be the Glory," and I was thinking about that last stanza. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. The only way you ever get to the Father is through the Son. There is no other mediator between man and God but the man Christ Jesus. No other mediator. That's what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You know, the Bible says that we are delivered from the fear of death. We're not, we're doing the Trump bump, little elbow bump, because not because we fear death. Probably some of us fear getting, Montezuma's revenge. You know what that is, right? That's where this one isn't Montezuma's revenge, but we don't want to get sick. But I don't fear death. I haven't feared death for 40 years. You know why I don't fear death? Because death has no sting with me. Death means I get to go see Jesus. Death means that I am going to be with the Father and the Son forever and ever in heaven. Look at Hebrews 13. Turn over to Hebrews 13 and we'll look at another verse. Jesus became a man but did not take the blood of man into his veins. That's the first point. The second one is in Hebrews 13. There's power through the resurrecting power of the blood. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Through his blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, God knew from the very beginning what man would do in the garden. He put Adam and Eve there, and he did not was not surprised when Eve partook of the fruit, gave to her husband. He also ate, and by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, for all have sinned, like, you know, not exactly like Adam, but death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, is what the Bible says. So death passes upon all of us because of the sin that we have committed, the sin in our lives. And he said, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, there's power in his blood. It is the everlasting covenant. So the first two points, Jesus became a man, but did not take the blood of man into his veins. That's why you have the virgin birth. People talk about the virgin birth. The reason the virgin birth is there is because there is no blood that came into Jesus' veins through humanity. It's the blood of God, according to Acts 20:28. We may be able to look at that verse. It's the blood of God that was shed on that cross for our sins. Now think about that. God loved us so much that he sent his son down to this earth to be born of a virgin. She conceived of the Holy Ghost, birthed God into this world, who took upon himself the form of human flesh, so that he could go to the cross and he could die for our sins and become the sacrifice for us. That blood's important. That blood's crucial. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. There's going to be a new song that they'll be singing about the blood in heaven. Revelation, the last book in your Bible, Revelation 5. Look at, let's start in verse 8. Let me get there with you. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 8. I got to get out of Revelation 6 to get into it. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders. I'm in chapter 4. Don't I need to be in chapter 5? Well, I was in 6. I was looking at that going, there is no song there. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, this is the song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's going to be a new song that they're going to sing in heaven about the blood. Why is the blood so important? Because without its shedding, there would be no redemption. Without its shedding, there would be no opportunity for any of us to get to heaven. That's why Jesus is so important. That's why anything that takes your focus off of Jesus, meaning religion, if you think, well, I got to be baptized. Well, if that baptistry takes your focus off of Jesus, get your focus back on Jesus and realize that baptism is not washing away sins. Baptism is just a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it's a picture to those that come and see you get baptized to see your identification with Jesus. But it's all about the blood. All about the blood. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I'll try to make sure I go to Romans 5 this time. Romans chapter 5. There was a book written called Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. Dehaene. And in that book, this is what he said, from the time of conception to the time of the birth of the infant, not one single drop of blood ever passes from the mother to the child. Not one drop of blood passes from the mother to the child while that child is in the womb. M.R. Dehaene wrote that in Chemistry of the Blood. That's why God said sin entered the world by one man and not through Eve. If Eve would have sinned and died, sin would have ended right there. But whenever Adam chose to sin with Eve, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Look at what Romans 5:12 says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know why you die? You die because of sin. Your only hope is to have that sin forgiven. In Howe's textbook of physiology, the second edition, it says the fetal and maternal blood do not come into actual contact. They are separate from each other. That child has blood in the womb, but that blood does not come from the mother's blood. Williams, in his practice of obstetrics. Phew. That was a tongue twister. This is what he wrote. The fetal blood at no time gains access to the maternal blood, being separated from one another. So that child in the womb does not get its blood from the mother. Now, to me, I mean, let's stop for a second. But we all just happened by accident, right? I mean, God in the miraculous, how he formed us, the Bible says, formed us in the womb. He knew us in the womb, the Bible says. Isn't it an amazing thing to really consider how intricate your body is, how intricate the birth of a child is, how amazing that is. And yet what God did was He made sure that when Jesus was born into this world, He didn't have the blood of Mary, a sinner. He had the blood of God running through His veins. Remember that whenever Mary had Jesus, she had to bring a sin offering for herself because she had birthed a child. And their custom was in the Old Testament to bring a sin offering for that. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls." It's the life of the blood. If you lose all your blood, you lose your life. You don't have to lose it all. You just got to lose enough to where you're not able to sustain life anymore. But Satan imitates the blood by counterfeiting the sacrifices upon the altar. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20. I mentioned this already, but the Bible talks about the blood shed on the cross as it being God's blood. Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Whose blood? God's blood. He purchased us with His own blood. What a magnificent God. I love serving God. I mean, I don't have to have anything apart from Jesus Christ in my life. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy my day. I'm going to enjoy others. And how do I do that? And everywhere that I go, we have people that come in here and visit and they say, "Man, it's just so wonderful being a Christian, because when you come into a place like this, it's like you've known each other all your lives." We got a letter in. It was a Facebook post, and she said she just really appreciated coming here and being loved on, the pastor and his wife and the two kids and the grandparents and all them. She said she just appreciated coming in here and being loved on at Faith Independent Baptist. Listen, that's what it's all about. What makes that opportunity available is the fact that we're all part of the same body. We're all in this together, because once you've accepted Christ your Savior, you're part of the body of Christ, and there's a special relationship there. I can go to any city, any country in the world, and it's like they've known me all their lives at times. And it's just amazing. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ. Because the blood that He shed. Because He made it possible for me to become a child of God by trusting in that blood that He shed. Now go back to Hebrews again, and then we'll go to 1 Peter. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, I think at one point he said the everlasting covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant. there in Hebrews 13:20 through the blood of the everlasting covenant. In Hebrews 10, verse 29, he talks about the holy blood. Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, when you live like the devil as a Christian, that's you right there. How much sore punishment do you suppose that person is worthy of who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant where he was sanctified an unholy thing? Listen, there's retribution to a Christian who doesn't live right. The Bible talks about the chastening of the Lord. The blood of the covenant. It's holy blood. That blood that was shed was holy blood. It was not tainted with sin. Our blood is tainted with sin. We must have a spiritual blood transfusion. And I said spiritual because there ain't no literal one that would do any good. It's a spiritual blood transfusion so that we are forgiven of our sins. We are born again. We become children of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Not only is it holy blood, but it's the incorruptible blood. It's precious blood. You look at some of the songs in the Bible, and the songs, here's some of them. The old rugged cross, third stanza. The old rugged cross stained with blood so divine. The song, when I survey the wondrous cross, the second stanza. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Another song, Come Thou Fount, the second stanza. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. How great Thou art, what a fantastic hymn. Third stanza, He bled and died to take away my sin. First stanza of Can It Be That I Should Gain? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Third stanza of There's a Fountain. Here's what it says. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Boy, I can't wait for that day. Saved to sin no more. I can't wait until one day my sinful body is changed into a glorified body. This wicked, vile body is glorified, never to sin again. Where were we in 1 Peter, I think, chapter 1? Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. What were you redeemed with though? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You and I are redeemed not by corruptible things of silver and gold. You can't buy your salvation. That's what it's saying. You can't come in here and put some money in the plate and say, hey, I'm a millionaire and I'm going to buy my forgiveness. You can't buy forgiveness. It's all about trusting in the Savior. It's all about the blood. Unless you understand what Jesus Christ truly did on that cross, you cannot be saved. What did He do? I mentioned this the other night. I said, He was on that cross. And the Bible says, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. You are made the righteous of God by the supernatural act of God by simply placing your trust in Him. Look at Matthew 27. Not only is it incorruptible blood, the precious blood, but in Matthew 27 he talks about the innocent blood. You know, the people that put Jesus to death knew that he was innocent. Why do they have to get false witnesses to testify against him? They had to get false witnesses because they had no true witnesses that could put him to death. In Matthew 27, look at verse 4. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the what? Innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Even Pilate said, it's innocent blood. What did Jesus shed on that cross? He shed the innocent blood. He shed the blood of God. He shed the pure blood, the holy blood. And it's not a corrupted thing. Our blood is corrupt. Just look at it. I mean, look at how we struggle in life. Our blood is corrupt. Sometimes you get a disease and your blood is even more corrupt. But when you look at Jesus Christ, it is incorruptible blood. It is holy blood. It is precious blood. It is the innocent blood of God that was shed for us on that cross. Go back to Hebrews 12 and let me show you something about how the blood can speak. In Hebrews 12, verse 22, the blood speaks. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the holy city, the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12, 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, who is Jesus? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus' blood speaks. You know what it says? Whatever you need it to say. If you need Jesus your Savior, it speaks to you about salvation. If you need it for service, it speaks to you about service after salvation. You know what the Bible, just listen to this. Genesis 4:10, and he said, this is Abel, Cain and Abel, what hast thou done? God speaking to Cain, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What did Abel's blood cry unto God about? Vengeance, justice, retribution. Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood speaking from that ground. What did Jesus' blood cry out? Pardon them. Forgive them. Have mercy on them. Forgiveness, redemption, justification, sanctification. It spoke all of those things. It didn't speak vengeance. Jesus didn't hang on that cross and he did say this. He said God could send legions of angels. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel, 185,000. You think God is impotent? His angel, one angel, could kill 185,000. Jesus hanging on the cross. Why? Man didn't put him there. He said, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because blood was the sacrifice that God required in order for a person to have forgiveness of sins. So he hung on that cross. The soldier, remember the first verse, the soldier came by with a spear and he stabbed him in the side and out came blood and water. He shed his blood for our sins. What does the Bible say about Christ's blood and what it does? It says you have peace through his blood. You have boldness. It makes us white. It purges us. We're overcomers by the blood. It washes us. It justifies us. It's the propitiation for our sins. We're bought with it. We're purchased. What an amazing thing when you consider it. And listen, people don't like talk about blood. I know people that faint from blood. That's fine. We're talking about the blood of God, a pure, holy, beautiful thing. There's a story, and it's true. And it's sort of appropriate for where we are today. We're looking for a vaccine, right? You wonder, all vaccines are produced in China, how they might benefit from a new strain that doesn't have a vaccine that they'll be looked to have the cure. Think about it. Oh, no, the government would never do that. Well, number one, we're talking about the communist government that's done a whole lot worse. And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just sort of plausibility is there. We won't know. You'll never know how all this started or why it started. But think about it. They put a new strain out there and they're hurting. They need money. The best way to get it is to go ahead and come up with a solution to a problem that you create. Governments are good for that. You want to create a drug epidemic? Just put some housing out here. It becomes the epicenter of drug deals. That's what they've done. That's what they've done. You want to create a problem with no fathers in the home? Then what you do is you say, hey, as long as you have children, we'll give you money, but if you marry the man, we're not going to give you any more money. You know that's what our system's set up as. That's how it's set up. In West Africa in 1927, a blood specimen was taken from a native named Asabi, who was sick with yellow fever. From that blood specimen, a vaccine was made. Did you know that all the vaccine for yellow fever manufactured since 1927 by the Rockefeller Foundation, the United States government, and all other agencies as well is derived from the original strain of virus obtained by Asabi, who has long since died? Carried down to this day from one laboratory to another, from repeated blood cultures and by enormous multiplication, Asabi's blood specimen has offered immunity to yellow fever to millions of people in many countries throughout the creative, through the creative imagination of science and the blood of one man. That means that the blood of one man in West Africa has been made to serve the whole of the human race for over 70 years. Doctors are using that yellow fever vaccine. As long as there's a human race, they'll be using it. And they'll be using that vaccine. The strain of the virus obtained from Asabi's blood will live on. Now think about Jesus. That's one man that brought a cure for one disease. We're looking at the man Christ Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh. His blood can forgive from every sin. You got to admit you're a sinner, though. You know, sometimes it's hard. We look in the mirror and we go, well, we're not really that bad. You really are. All of us need Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We've looked at the blood and I'm actually drawing it to a close. That'll be two times today. I've had short messages. What do we see so far as we were looking through? We saw that the blood of Jesus, innocent blood, it speaks, it's incorruptible blood, the precious blood, the holy blood, it's God's blood. I want to look at it as the eternal blood in Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Here's what happened. Jesus was hanging on that cross. The soldier came by, took that spear and pressed it in his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. That blood, his own blood that he shed, has offered eternal redemption to millions of people that look to Jesus for salvation. Yes, sir. But you got to say, I need that forgiveness. I need to be saved. I need to trust in Him. I want Jesus. I want forgiveness. And He's ready to forgive. Yes, sir. No matter who you are, what you've done, He's ready to forgive your sins. Let's all stand together as the pianist comes to play.